From atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby live on your radio. Hard-hitting news the networks refuse to use, no doubt, continues now. This is the broadcast for June the 1st in the year of our Lord, 2016. Hour two of two, the goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio in the traditions of our founding fathers. We don't need a revolution, but a restoration of the greatest country on the face of the earth would be a good thing. Ladies and gentlemen, we haven't talked to our wonderful guest in quite a while. I've been traveling. She's been busy. But you know what? Good news. We're back together again. We're telling the tale of liberty like always. We're promoting the principles of freedom. Becky Akers, well-known TSA critic, for good reason, by the way, as well as novelist. Yeah, Becky Akers wrote two incredible novels, Hailstorm, about Nathan Hales, and Abducting Arnold. The revolutionary new novels are available now. Buy them before they're banned. Becky, welcome back to Liberty Roundtable Live.
Thanks so much, Sam. It's always a privilege and a pleasure.
Several quick things to talk about. I kind of want to rifle through a bunch of subjects with you because we haven't talked for so long. I want to get your take on a bunch of things. Sirius XM temporarily suspends Glenn Beck because he allowed and or agreed with Brad Thor, well-known fiction writer, statements about Donald Trump. And the statements weren't very flattering. They say this is not what he meant, but he kind of advocated, some are saying, for the assassination of the Donald. I don't think it rose to the level of assassination, but I do agree that private companies can choose what they want to do. SiriusXM decided to let him go temporarily over it, but Premier Radio Networks decided to not suspend him over it, and the last thing I want is the government to get involved. Nevertheless, it's kind of an interesting dichotomy. On one hand, there should be limits to free speech. On the other hand, you know what? Is this just an excuse to eventually blur the line? Where do we go? What are your thoughts, Becky?
Well, I don't really see much of a controversy here because it's what you said, Sam. SiriusXM is a private company, and what they choose to do and what programs they choose to carry, I'm not on their board of directors. It's really none of my business. I assume that board of directors has the requisite knowledge that I don't. You being a radio man are in a much better position to comment on this than I am, Sam, because you have to worry about attracting an audience. You know what's involved with that. I really don't have any background in radio other than appearing on shows such as yours. So it's not an issue that I feel in any way knowledgeable. I'd much rather hear your opinion of it.
And my simple opinion is, hey, I support SiriusXM's right to let him go. They can do whatever they want. It's their company. Last thing we need is the government involved in it. I can tell you that right now. So get the government out of it. Shut down the FCC. But SiriusXM can do what they want. So can Premier. And they both made different decisions, and they're free to do so. My personal opinion is that, you know what? If it was on my network, I'd kick him off my network. Not because he doesn't have the right to free speech. He does. But I don't have to participate in his free speech. And secondarily, most importantly, I wrote an article, and I'm going to email it to you, Becky, called A Clarion Call for Civility. And I'm just convinced that you just don't say that kind of stuff. I don't know if it was done for ratings. I don't know if it was really done out of anger. I don't know if it was really an assassination threat. I have no idea. All I know is this. I wouldn't say any such thing about anybody. Okay, I don't like Hillary Clinton. I don't like Donald Trump. I don't like any of these people. But you know what? I'm not about to make any threat statements against them all. I just wish they'd obey the simple principles that can make America free. And the fact that they don't means we have a disagreement. But I'm not going to threaten violence or use my free speech in my opinion, inappropriate, unacceptable ways either. So that's my take.
I love your consistency in saying government should not be involved, and I want to say a big amen to that. This is none of the government's business at all. I also appreciate the fact that Glenn Beck is not a real savory character, although I will say I don't listen to him, Sam. I'm really not all that familiar with him, but the few times I have come across a quote of his or something like that, I'm pretty much repulsed. He certainly doesn't have your charm and your knowledge and your virtue from the little bit I've read about him. I do know that this has happened, something similar to this has happened to him once before, because I did write about him at one point, and he had made a comment that apparently had the Secret Service investigation.
Yeah, he basically said right before a break, the stabbing just would not stop. And basically that, a lot of people said that was a threat on Trump. It wasn't really. Glenn said, no, I was just talking about my talk show host, my co-host. We banter all the time. It's no big deal. But again, we're starting to see a pattern of things that you just don't say, Becky.
Exactly. And, you know, he's not a wise person. He sounds to me like he's pretty moronic, and his views are certainly reprehensible. So, Sam, I think what we take away from this story is we need to clone you and get you out there on a lot more radio stations that are relying on Glenn Beck instead of you.
Well, hey, I'd always support that. Now, I want to say, too, I just sent you my, it's an open letter. I published it on Facebook, et cetera. It's called A Clarion Call for Civility. And the point that I'm trying to get across with this is not that Sam's important, not that Sam's the consummate leader or anything else. I'm just Joe Blow out here like anybody else. However, what I'm trying to show a contrast in is what we ought to be spending our time on. You know what? Rather than being known for the stabbing just wouldn't stop, or threat assassination threats against somebody that may or may not be a real threat or may not be whatever, and blurring the line of free speech versus libel, slander, threats, etc., why don't we spend our time, in my opinion, on more moral pursuits, on things that can actually help the country, not hinder the country, on things that can actually bring people together and provide leadership? And I don't know, Becky, that's what I'm after.
I think that's a wonderful pursuit. It troubles me, too, that so often these ad hominem attacks are substituted for any kind of discussion of the issues. You know, people are very focused on Hillary Clinton's scandals. And, yes, her scandals are, you know, should be a huge bar to her ever being in public, let alone running for public office, although actually scandals in this in politics suit you for public office, it seems. But at any rate, I'm not trying to understate the importance of her crimes and her misdemeanors, because that's what many of these scandals amount to, her embezzling of funds, her collusion, her corruption. Not to underplay any of that, but when we get beyond that, this woman is advocating seriously Marxist policies for our country, and she always has, ever since she was first lady, quote, in the White House trying to nationalize and communize our medical system. Okay, I mean, this, she has a bedrock commitment to Marxism and socialism, and that alone should obviate any kind of support for her. But because people are so used to slinging the mud, we never get to those issues. You know, you can say the same thing about Donald Trump. Now, I have a lot of sympathy for Donald Trump, but I want to clarify that, Sam. I'm not going to vote for him. I don't believe in voting. I don't vote. I think he's reprehensible in his views. But my goodness, here's a guy that the entire media establishment is piling on. And you've got to say, got to be something good there. There, you know, for everyone in the world to hate Donald Trump and want to cause his downfall. I happened to be in a car yesterday driving all day long, since I will not fly and I do all I can to avoid the TSA. So that means I drive long distances. Although actually, Sam, I'm probably getting there ahead of the people that flew, given the lines that TSA is causing. But at any rate, I was hearing radio news all day, and I marveled at the piling on Donald Trump for his gifts to veterans. Okay, and all this investigation from the mainstream media, and one story I heard from a CBS affiliate, CBS was bragging about the fact their reporters were out there investigating Donald Trump's contributions to the veterans, and because of this reporter and because of his colleagues at CBS, Donald Trump is having to come clean. And I thought, my goodness, you are this upset about a $6 million gift, and you haven't investigated the Clinton Foundation with its hundreds of millions?
Well, and more importantly, what have these people attacking Trump done to put in a little bit of money or help raise money for the veterans? What they ought to be doing is saying, hey, let's talk about Donald's $6 million. Let's see if we can't make it 12.
And instead, what are they doing? They're just casting mud at this guy, You know, and again, I don't have any fondness for Donald Trump. I'm not going to vote for him. But at the same point, if even I, who despise politicians and anyone trying to be a politician, if even I can feel, good gracious, this is hardly fair. This is a witch hunt. What is it saying to the average person out there that actually thinks politicians are out there trying to do good for us? Okay? You want to say to these media people, if you really hate him that much, you need to start ignoring him instead of beating up on him. And all of you ganging up together, it's moving even people like me who despise politics to feel sympathy for him.
All right, quick pause, ladies and gentlemen. We'll talk a little bit more about Trump. I was critical a little bit when we heard the money wasn't raised to veterans from the media, but I said Donald could do the right thing and write out a check and lead by example. He actually did that. We gave him praise for that last hour. And now I'm challenging the media to step up and double the money. They could do it in a blink of an eye, folks. Becky Akers, our guest, in seconds.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is, again, the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Do you want to fix America's police and take the country back in the process? If you answered yes, then CSPOA needs you. CSPOA.org, the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, is an organization comprised of citizens, sheriffs, police, and other government officials. We are taking America back sheriff by sheriff, county by county, and state by state. And we need you. Over 300 sheriffs constitutionally trained. We teach public servants the Constitution and need your help. Become a part of the solution today at CSPOA.org. Are you a business owner who offers high-quality products, services, or solutions? Do you love America and want your business to support a freedom-loving cause that will help defend the Constitution? Well, if the above describes your company, then I want to connect you with my loyal and like-minded listeners. Contact me at RestoreTheRepublicShow.com, and I will personally consult with you to build a sponsorship package that will grow your business. Support a message of freedom and become a sponsor of the Restore the Republic Show today. Together, we will restore the Republic.
Promoting God, family, and country. You are listening to Liberty Roundtable Radio.
All right, back with you live. Becky, I don't know if you know, we had a big old fiasco with Donald Trump. We interviewed Donald Trump Jr. and turned into a big old fiasco. The media attacked us all relentlessly. Donald Trump Jr. disavowed us. I wrote an open letter to Donald Trump Sr. It's been all around the world in almost every large publication you could imagine. It's crazy. So we've had our own personal kind of scenario with that. And it's kind of interesting. What do you think, though, living in New York and Trump being kind of a New York guy and everything else? Is there some inside information regarding that that might apply to the nation that people ought to know?
Well, I have spoken to friends who've actually had business dealings with Trump's organization here in New York. And one particular friend said, I've never had any problems. They're professional businessmen, like professional businessmen of any organization. You know, they tell you something's going to happen, and it happens. And you sign contracts, and the contracts are honored. So I don't really have any dirt on that. I will say he was, for years here, something of a laughing stock, you know, with the hair and the crassness and everything. He's always had that same attitude, too. I mean, as much as people laughed at him here, he never cared because, you know, when you're a multi-billionaire, you don't care about things like that. So I don't have warm fuzzies for him as a New Yorker. The only reason I have any sympathy for him at all is because I think it's unfair to have a man that everyone in the establishment is ganging up against. If I were a voter, Sam, I would vote for him solely on that basis, because I think anyone who's ticked off the national established media and both the Democrats and Republicans, that they're piling on to that extent, he's doing something right somewhere. We may not be able to see it, but now, tempering that, however, I will say that whenever I read an actual stance on policy from him, I am appalled. I mean, he's just a Marxist and a statist like all the other candidates out there, which again, Sam, would go back to, why does everyone hate him so much? Why are the Democrats and Republicans piling on him? You know, with a
well, just maybe. And we had a caller on last hour, and I've made this point many times as well, that this is a big psyop. This is a big, reality TV show. What they're going to do is set Donald up to do very well. Then they're going to take him down big time and say, that's why you never stand for constitutional principles. That's why government's got to get bigger, not smaller. And they'll make a laughing stock out of constitutional principles. And it's designed to where they don't care if Hillary and or Trump wins. I often mock and say, you know what? What Donald ought to do is just pick Hillary as his running mate. And then just say, we don't need anybody to have an election at all. You guys have already decided, and now we've got the Republicans and the Democrats together on something. I told you I could bring people together, and I'm saying it in jest a little bit, but at the same time, I'm making a point.
Yeah, it's interesting, because I have thought the same thing about Bernie Sanders. You ought to choose Bernie Sanders, and that would really have the Democrats hollering. But either way, I don't quite understand. It's like if these people had just thrown out a little honey instead of vinegar, Donald Trump is not a man of principle. He will hop on whatever bandwagon seems to him most pragmatic. So if either party had welcomed him with open arms and made a fuss about him, he would have been running with that party. I'm just so puzzled about the whole thing. And again, Sam, I want to stress, I'm not a politician. I don't have a politically, my interest is political philosophy and the political principles that guarantee freedom. Actually, there are none. So my interest in politics is studying this absolute dire enemy to personal freedom. Okay, but if I can see all this, I, who don't know anything about practical politics, how is it didn't occur to all of these established states people? I'm just very puzzled by that.
I kind of think this is political theater. They're trying to find out where the American people stand. They're trying to find out how far the American people will go. They're trying to find out which issues resonate with the people. They're trying to gauge the mind of the people. And then with their secret combination, they'll take advantage of the minds of the people. And they'll divide and conquer like they've always done under any fault line possible. And they don't care if Trump wins or if Hillary wins or if both of them melt down and they have to put in one of their own insider candidates. They don't care. They've got such control now to where in their minds any option is satisfactory. Okay, you want to go back to Bush? Fine. All right, you want to go back to? Fine. You want to go have Paul? Fine. They're so deep in entrenched bureaucratic insiders that they don't really care. What they want to do is just kind of let the people have bread and circus over this reality TV kind of stuff. And we love it. Trump's taking on the media. Look, the media, if they wanted to ignore Trump, could flat out ignore half his events. But they love him. They want to get the ratings. They want to bring in the dollars. They want to create this circus. And so I'm convinced that I'll give you an example. Ron Paul was to somewhat a real threat against the establishment. They flat out ignored him.
Yes.
They didn't give him immediate attention to the oomph degree. And our caller made that point last hour, Chris. I think, and I've been saying this for a long time, I think that Trump is an insider playing a role for these people. If they really hated him, if they really didn't like what he had to offer, they would take down his financial dealings and keep him out of the press. They could do it pretty easily, too.
Yes, you're absolutely right about that. The press very much sets the agenda. And you're also very astute, Sam, in recognizing that no matter who wins, nothing will change. The deep state goes so far beyond elected politicians. The elected politicians are the tiny, little, teensy-weensy tip of the iceberg. Most of what goes on in our lives, most of the control from the government is coming from the entrenched bureaucracy. Okay, what Obama does, he's a fascinating study in power because he is actually, unlike most presidents, he's actually dictating a lot of what's going on. You know, most presidents are fairly helpless. They can't do much. All of the real laws and rules get put through at the bureaucratic level. But here's a guy who is pretty much a bureaucratic office by himself, you know? He's out there saying, you have to let men into women's rooms. And bingo, we're having to do that now. Or you have to admit sodomites into your clubs, and the Boy Scouts must take on a sodomite as a leader, and blah, blah, blah. Okay? I mean, he's pushing through these rules that normally are promulgated at the bureaucratic level. And he's getting away with it. I find that fascinating. But it's going back to what you're saying, Sam, that the bureaucratic state is what really rules us now. And the politicians are pretty much just window dressing. Very few Americans are on to that. Very few people understand what is really motivating and ruling their lives.
Yeah, see, they want political theater. They want this reality TV show. I mean, Bill Clinton can get on the news and be like, hey, I think it'd be fantastic if Hillary were president. I could go golfing and hang out with a Donald. You and I could have a wonderful time. You see, they just want all that scandal and confusion, and none of it amounts to anything. Nobody's going to jail. Okay, if it were different and people were going to jail, I'd have a different view. But no one's going to jail. You know what? Bill Clinton is a serial rapist. He should have been in jail for this. Now, I'm not defending Bill Cosby, but hey, I mean, it's like the tale of two Bills. It's crazy.
Yes, yes. I love your imitation of him, by the way. I thought I did a pretty good
one. Thank you. I sure appreciate that.
But yes, it is fascinating to watch the two Bills and how that's playing out, with one man being held to account and another man completely off the hook and lauded and praised and welcomed everywhere he goes. I have never understood this. Like, what decent woman will have anything to do with this pervert? And yet you never see women just fawning over him. So there's always the double standard when it comes to the progressives and liberals, always the double standard. If you're part of the state, then anything you do is okay. And if you're a private person trying to make money, there's something really evil and wicked about you. And Bill Cosby is finding that out for himself. And, you know, let's again remember, Bill Cosby is no saint, no angel as far as his political philosophy goes. You know, again, I don't follow him. I don't study him or anything. But the few times I've come across a political statement from him, he's an outright racist who hates white people. And, you know, he's a Marxist who wants to steal all our money and give it to the inner cities and stuff like that. So you would think he would cut some muster with the progressives since he's espousing their philosophies. But he doesn't, because he's not a member of the state.
Hey, I can't help it if I lead the handsome index. There's just nothing I can do about that, you know. But I do care about every one of you all people. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about things that matter in seconds. Liberty Roundtable Live, Becky Akers, our guest. Get her incredible books, Hailstorm and Abducting Arnold, today.
Exposing corruption. Informing citizens. Pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
With news this hour from LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg. During a recent press conference in Athens, Russian President Vladimir Putin repeated previous criticism of the U.S. missile shield that is being constructed on Russia's border, promising unspecified certain measures in response to what he characterized as a threat. Putin directed particular criticism at Romania and Poland, which are to host the first two bases in the missile defense system. If yesterday, in those areas of Romania, people simply did not know what it means to be in the crosshairs,
then today we will be forced to carry out certain measures to ensure our security, Putin said ominously during a joint appearance with Greek Prime Minister Alexis Tsipras. You are listening to LibertyNewsDaily.com. For residents of Venezuela, as has been the case in previous societies afflicted with a socialist command-and-control economy, shoes are often in short supply. People in better circumstances who have the luxury of planning for emergencies often forget or neglect the question of quality footwear, a subject addressed by emergency preparedness expert Andrew Skousen in the current issue of the World Affairs Brief. With fuel in critical demand after a coming crisis, you can expect to spend much more time walking to get around, Skousen points out. Not many generations ago, people easily walked several miles each day and would laugh at having to exercise to stay fit. Although modern running shoes are lightweight and cushioning, they wear out quickly. Cross-training or trail running shoes are still comfortable, but will be much more durable and versatile in a range of conditions. Compared to the sturdy boots, these will help you accustom to more mileage without as many blisters or foot and joint problems. The key to finding a long-lasting shoe or boot is to recognize the most common failure points, usually at the spots of greatest wear and flexure. The ball of the foot induces the most flex in a shoe and can cause poor materials in both the upper and the sole to crack and break down here. Many shoes use flexible, breathable fabric uppers, but the stitching on the sides is a real weak point as the threads wear through and break with the constant flexing. Durable work and hiking boots use one continuous piece of leather over the toe and along the front sides. This kind of leather work can be more expensive and may require more break-in time, but it results in the best durability and protection at the widest parts of your feet. Read more of Andrew's preparedness advice at the end of each weekly issue of the World Affairs Brief. If you want a win-win-win opportunity for patriots, think GiveMeLibertyFund.com. For LibertyNewsDaily.com, I'm William Grigg.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
Yeah, we've been busy at Liberty Roundtable Live, ladies and gentlemen, making a difference everywhere we go to the best of our ability. It's a lot of hard work, and man, thanks for all your support. Without you folks, we wouldn't even be here, so we appreciate you. It isn't about us, it's about the American people working together. Speaking of that, Becky Akers, our guest, author of Hailstorm and Abducting Arnold, two incredibly valuable novels. Buy them before they're banned today. Look up Becky Akers and Abducting Arnold or Hailstorm. All right, before we move along, I don't know if you know, we developed a new news service called LibertyNewsDaily.com. And you just heard Will Grigg reporting there at the bottom of the hour. It's a mixture of hard-hitting news. It's not the flashpan news of the day that's got to be, you know, instantly followed with reality TV. It's rather poignant news stories from a constitutional, from a moral, from a God, family, country perspective, from a protecting life, liberty, property perspective. Incredible news at LibertyNewsDaily.com. Tell all your friends about it. It's free. We just added the new link to sign up to be on the email list to get those once-a-day emails free in your inbox. So that's all happening. We just got all kinds of stuff going on. And in that, by the way, we're talking about preparedness. Don't neglect your feet, Kurt. Will just talked about it at the bottom of the hour, but you had a few comments about the story as well. I think it's critical information that people can use, Kurt.
Well, that's true. And our buddy Andrew Skousen, which is Joel's son, reports about this in the current issue of the World Affairs Brief. And a lot of times we think about all these other things when it comes to preparedness, you know, but he points out that with oil and fuel being, in short supply, he says, chances are good you're going to spend a lot more time traveling via foot. And so then he suggests, hey, that you may want to consider, good kind of shoes that are lightweight and have a lot of cushioning. You know, a lot of times they wear out quickly. He says cross training or trail running shoes are still comfortable, but they will be much more durable and versatile in a range of conditions. He says compared to sturdy boots, these will help you accustom to more mileage without as many blisters or foot and joint problems. You know, I mean, Sam, you've put on quite a few miles in places like the NAB and others. You know, I think he's right on to something. And
he is.
We highly recommend it.
The cool part about this is there's going to be preparedness tips weekly from Andrew Scows, and he really gets into the nitty-gritty and details, and it's valuable information, folks, in my humble opinion. So keep an eye out for that. We think it's incredibly important to focus on preparedness and solutions to the problems we face. In fact, Becky might have to walk all the way from New York to the Rocky Mountains when things get crazy. And so we better send Becky some shoes or something like that. Don't you think, Becky?
Well, I'll tell you what, Sam. Actually, living in New York City, I walk miles every day. Today's a typical day, and I'll probably have walked 6 miles by the time evening comes. And as I say, that's pretty typical for me.
So you don't go to the gym?
Oh, good heavens, no. I can't
there you go, folks.
Gyms all the time.
That's one of the...
I can't imagine how boring they must be to people inside.
Well, people ask me if I was going to the gym, and I say, well, I usually eat lunch with my buddy, Jim, but that's a different topic.
That's one of the things he points out is that people easily, generations ago, used to walk several miles each day, and they would laugh at having to exercise to stay fit, you know, kind of like Becky said.
And let's be sure we place the blame for the cessation of that kind of life where it belongs, and that is with government, okay? Because governments, local governments with their zoning laws, are the ones who have made walking unfashionable and actually almost impossible. I have inherited a house from my grandmother several years ago when she died, and it's in the Midwest. And, in fact, that's where I was driving back from yesterday for the long weekend. My husband and I went out to our house in the Midwest. Now, we are, as I mentioned, huge walkers here in New York City, and New York City is a very walker-friendly place. You can tell easily how far you've walked because the streets are on a grid. So when I say I've walked 6 miles, I know I've done that because I know how many streets it takes to make a mile. There are sidewalks everywhere. I can walk without fear of being run down by a car. I walk, and my husband walks with me every single day. And generally, as I said, I'm doing 6 miles. If we take a very long walk, it might be 10 or 12 miles by the time we're done. Okay? When we're in the Midwest, however, in a suburban area, we don't walk because the suburbs are not walker-friendly, okay? And why is that? Because zoning has put residential and businesses far apart, okay? There are zoning laws that keep businesses at a distance from residential areas. If we want to buy a quart of milk in New York City, we walk a block to the store. In the Midwest and in most suburbs, you can't do that because zoning bureaucrats have put the stores far away where you've got to get into a car, okay? Even if you could walk to the store, and it happens that our house is only a mile from a supermarket, okay, that in the Midwest, so we would love to walk it. That's nothing to us. That's a 15-minute walk for us, okay? We can't do it because there are so many cars. There are no other pedestrians. Everybody there is used to hopping in the car to go just a mile. And so drivers aren't looking.
There's usually roads with no shoulders where there's a high speed of traffic. It's not very safe to do it anyway.
That's exactly right. That's why we don't, because I'm terrified my husband will get clipped or something by somebody who isn't, you know, round the corner quickly and isn't expecting to see a pedestrian. So I tell him, I don't want to take the chance. We'll just walk when we get home to New York. But let's place the blame for our ill health. And again, Sam, when, you know, because we walk so much, my husband and I are both very, very thin, okay? We go out and we see these people and they are humongously overweight. And again, let's put the blame for that where it belongs on government for it propagating for the last 50 years the food pyramid where we were all supposed to be loading up on carbs and giving up fat. And now research is showing that is precisely the wrong thing to have done. So So let's blame the politicians and the bureaucrats for the fact that Americans are dying of cancer and heart disease brought about by their poor diet, dying of lack of exercise because the zoning bureaucrats mandated that businesses and all the things we need have to be miles from residential areas so that you cannot walk. You can't walk for 15 minutes to buy a quart of milk. You've got to get in your car. Let's blame government for our poor health instead of ceding the field to the progressives when they say, oh, well, government gives us our safe food. No, government has given us our processed food. Government makes it illegal in many states to drink raw milk, illegal to raise your own livestock. Okay? How many of us live in a place where we're mowing lawns instead of having goats and sheep and cows that would eat the grass that we could then milk ourselves? Okay? How many of us live in places where we are informing on our neighbors? Our neighbors' lawn gets a bit long, and we call the bureaucrats to deal with them. I was just speaking to one of my neighbors, an elderly woman, Sam. This is just a heartbreaking story. Elderly woman, not in the best of shape, has a hard time, very, very poor woman, can't afford a new lawnmower, and her lawnmower doesn't really work real well. Neighbors turned her in to the bureaucrats for an unkempt lawn, and she was cited. Now, what kind of neighbor does that? Why, if your neighbor's grass is bothering you, why don't you go over and offer to mow it? Instead, you pick up the phone and you tattle like you're in kindergarten to the powers that be so they can come and pick on an elderly widow? What is wrong with us anymore?
I hear that. It gets crazy. Speaking of what's wrong with us anymore, I mentioned that no real scandals are being dealt with, ladies and gentlemen. We've got reality TV show entertainment style stuff going on at the highest levels of our government. While that's happening, Judicial Watch just released a report, and they now have revealed that Justice Department documents reveal widespread use of fast and furious weapons by major drug cartels have now been linked to at least 69 murders. Let me say it again. Operation Fast and Furious, the scandal where the government sent guns across the border to the drug cartels. Okay, now 69 people are linked to being murdered to those weapons, Becky.
Well, that doesn't surprise me, Sam. If we start toting up the number of murders from ISIS that the CIA created, a terrorist group the CIA not only created, but that the United States government continues to finance with our taxes, okay? How about all the murders that Bill Clinton and Hillary Clinton have committed over the years, all the people that mysteriously wind up dead?
Hey, now you stop that. It's well known that I'm a lover, not a fighter. Come on now, Becky. You know I like to love on them. I don't like to hurt anybody. No, you're right. There's a body count well over 100. It's absolutely insanity. Becky Akers with us, ladies and gentlemen. Liberty Roundtable Live on your favorite news the networks refuse to use. Talk radio station.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items from my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998 and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Hi, it's Joyce Riley with the Power Hour. There's something really fun and exciting about discovering products that make life more pleasant and enjoyable. Well, Miracle 2 soaps definitely fit that description. The shelves at the supermarket are packed with soaps and cleansers that are full of chemicals that slowly destroy our health and the environment. Miracle 2 products are all natural, like the green soap that can replace your bath, laundry, household soaps, and cleaning products. And please try Miracle 2's skin lotion. It's quickly absorbed and not greasy like all those other mass-produced lotions. Miracle 2 Moisturizer is full of fabulous oils and emollients that leave the skin healthy and baby soft. I guarantee after you discover how amazing Miracle 2 products are, you'll recommend them to everyone you know. Just call 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Or visit thepowermall.com. You'll learn why so many people say it's not just soap, it's a miracle.
We fought, we learned, we struggled,
we won.
Despite Obama's best efforts, the newspaper of the human resistance survives. We have lived only to face a new nightmare, the war against the machines. Read about our struggle in The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The Sovereign is a 24-page monthly tabloid newspaper about the war between man and machines. We've tried reason, we've tried legislation. We've tried every peaceful means imaginable, and all it's gotten us is shut out. So now we fight the machines. Order online today at thesovnews.com or find The Sovereign at select newsstands. Remember to read The Sovereign, newspaper of the resistance. The human resistance's battle against the machines will be everlasting. This is mercy. It was never our destiny to stop the age of Obama. It was merely to survive it. Together. Together.
With news the networks refuse to use. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
Yeah, Operations Fast and Furious, 69 deaths, murders linked to the government, sending guns south of the border to the drug cartels, no accountability anywhere, no one's going to jail or anything else. Then you got Al-Qaeda, and you got ISIS basically being created by the United States government, well documented by our buddy Chuck Baldwin in his latest article, pretty neat stuff. Documenting that. But again, no accountability anywhere at all while we all basically have bread and circus and watch reality TV shows that are a little less reality and a whole lot more manipulation in real life as we sit idly by and let our country go down the tubes. It's tragic. Nevertheless, there's a lot of people doing a lot of good things to restore the Republic, and that's one good thing at least, is there's a lot of good people doing a lot of good things. By the way, the TSA had to let go of their top thug, didn't they?
Yes, they did. I had to laugh about that, Sam, though, because the problems with the TSA are systemic and constitutional. It has nothing to do with one individual or even a set of individuals, unless we include the entire group of them. And yes, the entire group are criminals and anti-constitutional thugs. But to try to pin all this on one person at the agency was absurd.
They're probably just going to let him go, though, and give him a job at some university. In 20 years or the next administration, he'll be back, won't he?
Well, actually, he hasn't left the agency. Now, see, this is why you always have to be very, very careful in dealing with the TSA, because they are fundamentally mendacious and fundamentally duplicitous. They did not let this guy go. He has not been fired, whatever you have read or heard from the media, which is complicit with the TSA in much of its tomfoolery. The guy was simply reassigned, okay? So he is still there, and the problems with the TSA are not going to be fixed by firing anyone unless, as I say, we fire them all en masse. The problems with the TSA are that it is an anti-constitutional agency that is routinely violating the Fourth Amendment as well as several other amendments, such as the First Amendment's right to free speech, et cetera. And the other problem with the agency is it is logistically impossible to do what the TSA claims.
Shut down the TSA and let private airports and private airlines deal with their own people and figure it all out is my solution for that. By the way, I bet all the TSA thugs raping everybody and touching everybody are like, hey, Bill Clinton, he ain't got nothing on me. See, it's just crazy, folks. I mean, it's out of control everywhere. But there are answers. Now, I guess there's a widow in the news, Kurt. She's got a little bit more of a personal battle going on, huh?
Yeah, and this goes along with, Becky mentioned the neighbor that she'd heard about with the extra high grass and somebody calling on him. In this case, you're talking about Sarasota, Florida. For 70 years, a lady named Marie Sikorsky has lived in Well, the same house on Weber Street. She's now 90 years old, a widow. She gets about $1,000 a month from Social Security, but she's got the misfortune of living next to a neighbor who filed a complaint. Yeah, this is a complaint about repairs that were needed on her home. A couple of years ago, the city there, Sarasota, Florida City, sent a team of inspectors, not a team of people to help out, you know, but a team of inspectors that cited the lady for several code violations, talking about the zoning regulations and stuff that Becky brought up. The city's now demanding $150,000 in fines, and those things are increasing by $500 a day. Now, the one, you know, pretty part of the story is one neighbor, he's a different kind that, of neighbor that offered to help this lady. Guy's 30 years old. They call him Miles. That's the only way they reference him in the story. But he's volunteered to clean up and repair the home. But guess what? There's a little problem with that because he's not a licensed contractor. And so anyway, the city's, you know, just keeping on their deal, issuing more citations and more charges. They say unless the municipal government relents, the Liberty News Daily piece says, the 90-year-old widow whose family lives on the other side of the country going to be thrown out of her home. So welcome to America.
This is what I'm talking about. We need enough Americans to stand up and shut down the government belligerence on this. Let this good old gentleman go over there and help his neighbor like the good Lord intended and get it done. But as long as we idly sit by and rat on our neighbors and melt down and let absolute belligerent regulations, you know, be the order of the day, we're in trouble in America, folks. There are solutions. There are answers. This is not one solution, by the way. But this next story is pretty interesting. All I can say is this, Kurt. Hey, come to Papa. You come and see Sugar Daddy over here. We'll take good care of you. There's a trend in America you got to know about, folks.
Yeah, and it's a sad trend, in my opinion. But with the high cost of government colleges, you know, schooling everywhere, because government's involved in a market that they shouldn't be in, then it leaves the average student with a lot of debt. And according to Jerome Corsi, writing at WorldNet Daily, the headline reads, Millennials, that's the youngsters that have gone through college, they turn to sugar daddy prostitution to pay debts. I guess what they do, since they're unable to find well-paying jobs after graduation, many of them are, working on what they call, they're willing to help pay off their student loan debts, but they do it in return for sexual favors. I guess one guy called it facing a lifetime of debt slavery. The millennial generation is doing whatever they can to avoid homelessness. I guess they use some different websites to do it, to connect people who are willing to pay, you know, as much as $3,000 a month. They call them sugar daddies and even sugar mamas that want a younger acquaintance, if you will, that might enjoy shopping sprees, expensive dinners, and exotic travels, among other things, I would add. But anyway, that's the new way of paying off your government school debt. By the way, way down in the story, Sam, they point out the fact that, way back, the federal government had zero participation in student loans back in 93, but now, hey, they've got about $800 billion in student loans in 2014.
Yeah, and it's a bubble that's going to burst, and everybody's going to be in trouble over that, too. It's what do you mess. Say, Becky, though, while the reality TV goes on, while there's no accountability anywhere in belligerent, out-of-control government, while old ladies are losing their homes, the young ones are giving it up for filthy lucre.
And Sam, it's just typical of government where it puts through policies that are supposed to help, such as getting into the student loan market, and what happens? The cost of schooling skyrocketed. Instead of helping people, as always, government has made things even more difficult. Now kids are reduced to prostitution. This is just such an outrage. Any decent person hearing this should be heartbroken at what our taxes are doing to our fellow man. Government steals our money from us in taxation and uses it to hurt our fellow man. On that principle alone, let alone any constitutional principle, on that principle alone, all of us should be directly opposed to any form of taxation. All of us should be in the streets protesting this abusive, corrupt, cruel, tyrannical government and how it is milking the life from our society. We should reject with every fiber of our being the progressive vision in which government controls all of us in our minute interactions with each other, in our major interactions with each other. That is the progressive ideal that government will arbitrate and tyrannize all of us every day in every way. Let's reject that because we see firsthand what that kind of government control does.
But let's be very clear. There are answers. There are solutions. And it starts with personal morality, and it starts with self-governance, and it starts with living a good, honest, moral life based on godly principles, and then teaching others to do so, finding spouses that do so, educating children to do so. And yes, there's going to be mistakes. People aren't perfect, but that's what we need to do, and nothing else will take our country back, Becky. Nothing.
Oh, I agree entirely, Sam, and I think one of the reasons that government appeals to so many people is with that illusory promise, I'll give you something for nothing. I'll give you Social Security for nothing. I'll give you a college loan. You can get other people's money to get you through school. It's not going to cost you anything. Don't worry. And government appeals to that greed inside every human being, our fallen sinful natures. Government appeals to that idea that we can get something for nothing. You want medical insurance? I'll give that to you for nothing. That's no problem. And what is Obamacare doing now? Posting double-digit increases in premiums across the country, okay? So the promise is never fulfilled, never carried out. But again, the way government hooks people is by saying, I'll take from other people and give to you. It won't cost you a dime. And that is theft. That is a flaw in our human nature that we agree to a premise like that, that kind of premise attracts us. Steal from other people and give to me.
And they sell the satanic lie that somehow that's honorable and just and right and fair, and it's nothing but a lie.
Absolutely, Sam, absolutely.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you want to get Becky Akers' incredible novels, do it today. Abducting Arnold is one of them. Abducting Arnold. Unique, interesting input about who Benedict Arnold really was. Do the history books tell you the real tale? I think not. The other book about Nathan Hale called Hailstorm, incredible patriot. You got to learn more. Becky Akers, Hailstorm and Abducting Arnold. Becky, thank you. Of course, you'll be back soon.
Thank you, Sam. It's always a privilege and a pleasure.
There she goes, ladies and gentlemen. There she goes, ladies and gentlemen. LibertyNewsDaily.com is our incredible new website for news. And we the people can restore the republic. It's going to take personal morality, though. This nation shall endure.